It's time for episode 4 of the Warrior Path Podcast, the show about the latest news and events in Cuba Heights City Schools. I'm your host, Zach Frank, and we'll be discussing art in the classroom this episode. Here to give us insight on the different projects students have been doing is Catherine Nugent, art teacher at Valley Forge Elementary. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. You know, you recently gave a presentation during the October board meeting, so I thought that this would be great to highlight on the Warrior Path. And we're also, just for people listening at home, we're also in Valley Forge Elementary in her art classroom. So, you know, there might be an occasional page. We're actually recording this right now during a parent-teacher night, as you said.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you hear that happening, don't worry. It's all good. It's all part of the natural live experience, I should say. So with that being said, let's get right to it. So in your presentation, you talked about different art projects you guys have been doing. And so what is the DOT project that you talked about during the board meeting?
Okay, so the DOT is a project that I did with kindergarten through third grade students. And we read the book, The DOT, by Peter Reynolds. And it's about a girl named Vashti who came into art class and was just getting upset that she couldn't do art, and she basically shut down and didn't want to do anything. And she just sat there kind of angry, upset, frustrated. And so I talked with my students about when they get frustrated, what are they feeling? Like, what things make them frustrated? And so we kind of talked about our emotions and how we feel when we get that way, and also how we can overcome those feelings. Because as I was telling them, we can't make anything if we just shut ourselves down. So then each student got a piece of paper and they made their dot. So their dot is like their mark on the world. And so they got to use a variety of materials, such as they could use paint, they could use markers, they could did watercolor. So they did all kinds of different things. And they each made their own dot. And then we took those individual dots and made a giant installation. Because even though we all are making our own mark on the world, we all have to work together. And if we all work together, then we can make something really magnificent and wonderful. So something small then can become something very large.
So did the students combine all their individual projects into a large project?
Yes. So each dot, so it's kind of growing along the hallways in the schools. And so they all put their dots on the wall, and then they kind of are making this big installation. And they all work together in that way.
Okay. And what about grade levels? Like, which grades did you use this project for?
Kindergarten, first, second, and third grade did this project. So the younger students did this one because they seem to get more frustrated, especially in art, if they can't draw something perfect or if they're having trouble in math and can't do a problem right away. They get really frustrated, and sometimes they shut down or they cry, and I just wanted to show them that they can get past this.
Yeah, so really helping them, like you said, overcome their obstacles, all that adversity they're facing, especially at a young age, all that kind of stuff. Okay, and there goes the announcement, okay. So yeah, we're going to take a quick break. No, I'm just kidding. We're right here. Okay, glad that was a quick one. Anyway, so let's move on to the next project you talked about during the board meeting, and that was Ish. So what is the premise for that?
Okay, so Ish is the second book by Peter Reynolds, and that was done with my older students. And Ish is about a boy named Raymond who loved to draw and loved to do art. And his brother, his older brother, I should say, made fun of him and was laughing at his drawings. And because he was drawing a vase and he was like, oh, that doesn't look like a vase. And so Raymond just crumpled up his paper, got upset because all he could hear was his brother laughing at him. And he threw the piece of paper on the floor. And so then his little sister came running by and grabbed the piece of paper. And he was about to get mad at his sister. And instead, he ran after her as she was running. And she closed her door to her room. And he opened up the door. And then he saw that his sister had all of those pieces of paper that he had crumpled up, had made a gallery in her room of his work, because it really showed she just loved his work so much. And he was just in awe that even though somebody else was making fun of him, somebody else really loved what he was doing. So it's about not letting other people squish your ish, is what I like to say. And so just because somebody says something to you or is making fun of you, you shouldn't stop doing what you love.
Yeah, I feel like that also has a lot to do with the art process, too. I mean, it's a whole thing of, like, starting something and then thinking, oh, that's horrible, and then just crumpling it up, throwing it away. I feel like that relays into it.
Yes, it does. It does very much, because a lot of students get frustrated like that, or they think, oh, well, this is dumb, I'm just going to crumple it up. And especially with my fourth, fifth, and sixth graders who are more self-conscious about themselves, especially when their peers are around. If their peers don't like it, they think they shouldn't do it at all, even if it's something they really love. And so that's why I thought this book would be better suited for my fourth, fifth, and sixth graders.
Wow, that age, or that whole adolescence, I should say, really all that anxiety, you know, self-pressure and stuff. So for the project, what specifically did they do for your art class?
So what the students did is each one got a piece of paper and they crumpled it up, just like Raymond did in the book. And the crumpling up was to, like, signify something that they maybe have been frustrated with or that they didn't think they were good enough to do, something like that. So they crumpled it up like they were going to throw it away. And then they opened up the piece of paper. And then all the lines that the crumpled made, they took a Sharpie. And then they outlined all of those little lines. So those were to signify, like, the paths in life that we take. So some paths are going to be harder than others. So there's going to be more of them. Some paths are going to be dead ends. Sometimes we have to jump over obstacles, like people saying not necessarily nice things to us about what we want to do, or if we get made fun of. And so they outlined all of the lines on this piece of paper. And it kind of ended up looking kind of like a map. So it really does signify roads. And then in each section, they had to write words about themselves that made them unique, made them special, or things that they like to do. And so a lot of the students chose to do, like, creative-ish. They wanted to put the title in there, or, like, talented-ish, athletic-ish, because they're still learning, so they can't be perfect at anything right now. And some just wrote the words as they were. And then after that, they took liquid watercolors, because you get just a brighter color than a regular watercolor. And they painted them. And so they could paint each individual section. It kind of looks like a stained glass. Or they could just do, like, a random kind of painting. It was up to them because it's their artwork. And this was to signify, like, the triumph of overcoming these obstacles. Like, oh, the light's shining through. We can see all these colors. We're happy again. We made it through. And so that's what they did.
Was there a collaborative aspect to this as well, like with the dot project, or?
Yes, there was. So we took all of our papers and then we made an installation on the other side of the hallway. So that kind of looked like they were, like, flying down the hallway. So it wasn't so much a form, but they were all put up. So that way when the students can walk down, they can see all these artworks of what they're good at, what they like to do. And it just makes for, they get it sends a really positive message, I think, when the students walk down the hallway. Because on one side, you have the DOT projects. And so the little ones see how they work together and they did this awesome thing. And then the older kids see their ISH project. And so they've taken a lot of pride in it. So I can see, I still see kids stop and like read them all and really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I'm also noticing themes, you know, helping them with their self-confidence, self-image, helping self-esteem, feel better about themselves, all that good kind of stuff. So going from that to the third project, what is the premise behind the memory project?
Okay, so the memory project is a project that we haven't started yet. It will be starting here in a couple months when we get the pictures.
Oh, so we're getting a sneak peek.
Yes, okay. You are. We haven't actually started it yet. So so the memory project was started by a gentleman named Ben Shoemaker, and it was started in about 2004. And he was a social worker that went over to Guatemala, to work in the orphanages. And he saw that these children had really nothing personal for themselves and not anything that they really cared about. So he came back and started working with art teachers, asking for them to work with their students to make them portraits from pictures that he had taken of these students. And because then he could then take the pictures back to those children, and it gave them something to be happy about or something to like really care about. Like it was something that was made especially for them.
Yeah.
And so what our students are going to do, I actually just got off the phone with this gentleman a little while ago, and we are going to be doing a refugee camp in Syria is who we are going to be getting the pictures of. So the students that we'll be working with have never even lived outside of a fenced-in area or lived in their own house. So it's mostly girls. And what we'll be doing is my students will be learning about some of the things that are going on in Syria. And so this will be done with my sixth graders because it is portraiture and it's a little bit more difficult. And then from there, we will get these pictures that he will send us, and the students will be making a picture of each of these girls in the camp. Some of them are boys, but he said it's mostly, like, I think it's like 90% females. So they'll be getting to pick what materials they can use again. So if they want to do like a color pencil drawing or a black and white charcoal drawing or a painting, that will be up to our students.
And what made you want to take on this endeavor? I mean, this is straying quite from the normal curriculum or what's normally expected from art teachers. So what influenced you to go down this path?
Well, I went to a conference over the summer, and it was about different, one of the presenters, it wasn't all about it, but one of the presenters talked about art with a purpose, and that was doing different art projects to help different programs, whether it was, you know, the Memory Project or CISCA or the Haiti Houses. There's so many different projects, and I just really liked the message because most students, when they think about art, they're very excited about it. They're like, oh, we get to have fun. We get to paint. We get to do clay. But most of the time, professional artists aren't doing it just to have fun. They're doing it to relay a message, just like musicians make music to show their message. And so I want to show students that they can take something that they love and that they have a passion for and help other people with it, especially with this memory project. Or with the DOT and the ISH, show that it can be used to help them get through things in their life that may be hard, instead of choosing wrong paths. So that's something that's very near and dear to me. I always try to do something like this every year, but this year I'm just taking it a little bit further because it just opens up so many doors.
Yeah, I mean, wow, I mean, that's really commendable to hear about. I mean, you really got me in my feelings on this podcast, you know, from giving me a preview of this to talking about all the other issues that you're talking about, like with dealing with students. And it's like, wow, art's really that powerful.
Yes, it can be. And that's what I want to show, because they have a voice. They can do something that can make them stand out and make them feel good about themselves and have that pride, because that's going to help them later on in life if they have a positive way to do this stuff. And it's just going to, I mean, and it's going to help everybody in the world, because as long as we can all work together and do things in a positive way, I mean, it's just going to help everybody.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it will. Well, yeah, you heard it first on the Warrior Path podcast, from art helping students with their self-esteem to helping other children halfway across the world. You know, it's happening right here in Heber Heights City Schools. So I guess that'll wrap this segment. I really want to thank you, Catherine, for coming on and really expanding. This was an extremely illuminating conversation for not just for me, but for all the viewers. I mean, I should say listeners, for all the listeners out there.
Well, thank you for having me. I love opportunities like this to showcase, especially what we are as Heber Heights are doing in our schools. So thank you so much for...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's no problem. And that's exactly what this podcast is for. So we'll definitely have a gallery of this. I'm looking around the room in Catherine's art room right now, and it's beautifully decorated with all student artwork. So if you go to HeberHeightsCitySchools.org/gallery, you'll be able to see more of the students' artwork. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at HHCS District, and visit bit.ly/warriorpathsurvey to submit ideas for what we should talk about next. Again, that's bit.ly/warriorpathsurvey. I do check that, so your efforts will not be in vain there. And again, that'll wrap episode 4 of the Warrior Path podcast. We'll see you next time.